just as from chapter 34, this is what he did. We're told that Moses would put a veil on his face until he went in to speak with God. So his face was so shiny, people were scared to come near him and they didn't know what to do. So he said, "Oh, well, I'll dull it down a little bit for you." And he put a veil over his face, because when you've met with God, the outshining of all that God is, his glory and how wonderful he is, it's that lovely fellowship and that amazing God that has changed Moses' face and his appearance. So something of that is what happens, I think, when we meet with God. There is some change, transformation, renewal, and we should experience something of that each time we've spent some time with the Lord. He is transforming us from one degree of glory to another. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, we thank you for you're the gracious God, and we pray that as we meet today and listen to your word, that we will hear afresh something of the amazing grace that you bring to us and to your world. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Just like to say thank you again to Sue and Kevin for just sharing something of what it's meant for them, for God to be with them. And I couldn't help think that they have known God's graciousness in those big moments in life. And that's quite often where we experience perhaps a more intense amount of prayer takes place sometimes when we need God's help. And so they've known the Lord in moving house can be quite traumatic. They've known the Lord in the timing of the dying of a sister. The Lord's help in the request she had. They've known the Lord's presence in their need bodily, whether it's been problems with legs or hearts or cancer. And they've still known in their difficulties and the uncertainty of life that the sun still comes up in the morning, which is what someone said to me on Saturday, I think. Anyway, the gracious God who we know is reflected in the speech of Christians. That's why we often talk about, giving some testimony or bearing witness to God's presence in our lives. And Paul wrote this to the Colossians. He said, "Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer everyone." And I guess most of us like gracious speech. We like to hang out with people who are gracious in their manner towards us. And they are good to hang out with, people who have this graciousness, and it's coming and flowing, particularly where we know that's come from Christian faith. People's disposition is changed because of God's graciousness. One of the confusing things that happens in the world today is that people read the background stories to the coming of Christ and they don't know how to put these things together. Well, what we end up with is we can have a very dark, legal God whose main concern is that everybody obeys laws, and that's their understanding of God. It's just a law, law, law God whose laws, instead of embracing them and finding they're wonderful, just feel that if you obey the right thing and do the right thing, that's how it is. And there's numbers of religions who have a very, very dark God. And you meet people, sometimes their disposition is a little bit not altered for the best, but for the worst, because God seems to be such a dark God. On the other hand, you also meet people who are very flippant in life and just seems like this God's a very lax God, doesn't really care, anything goes, do what you like. And yet somewhere in the middle of all of that, the revelation that God brings to the world is that he is gracious and good. And Moses' revelation that he came to understand was this holy God was the good God, but he was to be taken seriously. And so we have in the scriptures, I don't know how often you read Exodus, perhaps we don't read it enough, but it's really the background and the basis for our understanding who this gracious God is. Were it not for those thousands of years of build-up from Abraham, who was a friend of God, and then the people of Israel as they've brought out of slavery into freedom, that's where we really run into them worshipping or seeking to worship other gods. And it doesn't do them good. It doesn't do their manner of being God's people good. And so we see this entrance into their life of sort of a sinfulness that seems to come into so many aspects of their life. But it's this gracious God who keeps visiting them to transform them. Graciousness is the quality we appreciate in others. It's more than politeness. It's more than just being a nice person. It's a disposition that's consistent with the God we know in Jesus Christ. And this is how the New Testament relates Moses' ministry and Jesus. And I'm going to give a couple of other examples of that in a moment. Speaking of Jesus, from his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. The law, indeed, was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known. So then, the God we know in Jesus Christ is the God who gave Jesus to the world in order to teach us, yes, heal our lives, yes, give us his own spirit, yes, but centrally he was given to reveal the greatness, the grandeur, the holiness and the grace of God. And he did this most of all in his death. Paul says he was put to death for our trespasses. He was, yes, also raised for our justification, our peace, our gladness, and our certainty about life and death. But it's that being put to death for our trespasses, which is the background, the underneath of all that we understand God being the gracious God, is that he deals with sin once and for all. And that was the build-up that we were beginning to learn in Moses' time. Want to just put it in a little sentence that you can maybe take as a summary, but it's this. The gracious God is the Golgothic God. Golgotha was the place we read. They brought Jesus to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull, and they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he didn't take it, and they crucified him and divided his garments among them, casting lots for them to decide what each individual should take. And it was the third hour, 9 o'clock in the morning, when they crucified him. So what happened at Golgotha was where the gracious God that we know once and for all did something really kind. Jesus was put to death for our trespasses and raised for our justification. God has dealt once and for all with our sin, with our evil, with that which goes against him, which ruins the world, which doesn't bring blessing to the world. It brings the opposite of that. And this painful thing that emerges right around the world has come into the world because of humanity turning from this true God, the gracious God, the God of all grace and kindness. So Moses gets a glimpse of this God. He wants to see him. And all he gets to see is the back of God. What Moses heard, though, was very important. We read he was placed in this little cleft in the rock. And God passed by. And all he saw was just a glimpse of his back. So he knew this is the living God. He knew something great was happening. But he heard God's voice. He heard this word, and this is what he heard. The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping love for the thousandth generation, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. And so Moses was wanting to know whether he and his people who'd turned away and worshipped false gods and had made a fair mess of their calling as God's people, he wanted to know whether God's favour would go with them when they went in to take up their land. And so he heard that this God is gracious towards them. Their calling was still there for them. And then he adds this other little part that we probably have difficulty with. Keeping steadfast love for the thousandth generation, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, yet by no means clearing the guilty, but visiting the iniquity of the parents upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. If you can quickly just get the numbers there, where there's faithfulness to the Lord and that's passed on to their children and their children's children, it continues for 1,000 generations. It's God's grace and graciousness flows on. But where there's a rejection of him, where people stay in their guilt and stay stuck with that and won't receive the mercy of the Lord, won't turn back to the Lord, well, the side effects of their lives travel on. There are side effects to our lives. It affects their children and their children's children and to the third and fourth generation. And then what happens? It stops. So even in the Lord dealing with those opposed to him, after three or four generations, something else happens. The gracious God calls and draws people back to himself. So his aim is to bring blessing. It's to bring forgiveness. It's to deal with sin once and for all. And the side effects are very real. But Moses quickly bowed his head towards the earth and worshipped. He understood there and then God's kindness and graciousness, but underneath that, there was another element of that which made his graciousness, in a way, even more gracious. And there's a serious note to who God reveals himself to be. This quote goes on right through the Bible. You'll see it pop up. Just one example, Psalm 103, verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. They kept coming back to that and relying on that. Whenever they messed up, they were called by the prophets to turn back. They were reminded of God's graciousness. They saw the side effects of all of their turning away, and they were real. And yet they were called time and again back to the way which the Lord had given to them. What Moses saw was God's back. And most important, though, is what not what he saw, but what he heard. What we see and what we hear is important when we look to the ministry of Jesus. When we saw the bloodied, crucified face of God, we heard these words. And here's God the Son of God, crucified, straining, bearing our evil. And these are the words he spoke. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This is his word coming to the world amidst our evil and sin, which is real. This is the God who is so gracious, so merciful, so abounding in steadfast love that he bears our sins in his own body on the cross. Just a couple of things to connect the foundations that we've already heard about in our children's talk. Moses' face was full of light and holiness and reflected the glory of God. When we see in Jesus Christ, we see the true face of God, the one who suffers for us to the utmost. Moses was rescued from death as an infant, from the political ruling tyrants who wanted all the Hebrew babies killed. Jesus was rescued from death as a child, from the angry Herod who had all the children around Bethlehem who were 2 years or under killed. Moses grew up among the Egyptians and saw his people in slavery and forced labour. Finally, he was called to lead them out into freedom. Jesus sees the slavery of the human race and he comes to us to call us out into a new freedom. If the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. Moses was commissioned to save his people. Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit's power to save his people from their sins. Moses performed signs and wonders to show the Lord's power. The river Nile turned to blood. Frogs and plagues, gnats and so on. Jesus performed signs and wonders, healed the sick, cast out demonic powers. Moses led his covenant people under the blood of the Passover lamb. They fled that night from Egypt. We're told that Jesus' blood is that which cleanses all our sins, and we are atoned for in the blood of Christ. The seriousness of worshipping false gods was seen in the way they treated children. Very important. In their many ways of immorality among men, women and children and their wrongdoings, we still see this across the nations of the world, and the way children are treated are very important. Today, I just want to point you to the seriousness and importance of knowing a gracious God. If you don't know a gracious God, you'll do things that are not gracious. One of the areas in Europe that have been affected by the gospel is the Netherlands. The Dutch people have had quite a good history of Christian faith. They've been turning away from that in droves. They've not been passing it on from generation to generation, such that this week, the Dutch government's preparing to legalise euthanasia for children between the ages of 1 and 12. Last year, the Dutch Ministry of Health commissioned a report from the Society of Paediatrics, which recommended the government permit euthanasia for terminally ill children of 1 to 12 years of age. The report included a survey of 72 doctors employed in prominent hospitals specialising in medical training. The majority stated that it's morally acceptable to euthanise preteen children who are suffering without prospect of improvement if their parents request it. But by contrast to that, some of us have watched on in prayer as just recently a young girl about that age who had a terminal situation. She knew the Lord, knew the Lord's love, knew the power of palliative care and the love the doctors had for her, and she saw through her last day and the Lord took her home to be with Jesus. It's a different way. Can you hear what I'm saying? Yeah? I know that we deal with science and its complexities and so on, but I'm just saying this morning, in such a world as this, God brings the gracious good news of his graciousness, but the gospel includes a warning of the deep effects of guilt, which they are real, and the guilt of the human race, which is enormous. This is what Moses knew, the guilt of his people and of himself, as he pleaded for the people that God would go with them. Lord, please be on our side. Please go with us. God is with them in Jesus Christ. God is with us in Jesus Christ. Apart from him, the nations of the world remain in their sin with all the horrendous effects. Theology, as Sir P.T. Forsyth reminded us, is to think in centuries. And the reason we're going back to pick up some of these things is it helps us ground our gospel in the revelation that God's bringing and does bring to the world of his graciousness. To understand glory and goodness, we need the background of God's dealing with his people in mercy and grace as the gracious God. My prayer is that we will continue to know the Lord, a merciful and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, and we'll come to that faith in him. Jesus is that great I am that Moses met in the burning bush. Jesus, when he comes among us, says, I am he, I'm the light of the world, I'm the bread of life, and I am the resurrection. And it's this same God who we meet in Jesus Christ, who we understand and know, thanks to the background we're given through God's people and through Moses. God's been with those people, he's with you, and he's with us to the close of the age, turning us back to a gracious God. May God add his blessing to the word today, and may you receive with faith this Jesus and know he is purposively kind to you. So is the Father, and so is the Spirit, and they're bringing us into that great and full forgiveness. Let me close with this question. Do you know that God has forgiven all your sins and taken all your guilt and mine away? Let us give thanks to the Lord. He is a gracious and merciful God. May the Lord continue to bless you knowing these things, receiving these things. Shall we pray? Dear Lord, we thank you that you are the gracious God. And Lord, as we see in our world today, there's a lot of turmoil. There's a lot of struggle. And Lord, there's a lot of uncertainty about who you are, whether you're for us or against us. We thank you, Father, that in Jesus Christ, you are for us. Your love is overflowing. Your mercies never come to an end. Your steadfast love never ceases. And we thank you, there's a great future because Christ took our sins and rose again that we might have faith and follow him. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we're with you and you are our guarantee of a great future. Help us now to spend time with you and live as people with some face shining as we know that we're with you, the gracious God. Lord, hear our prayers. In Jesus' name we pray.